Well, thanks, Roy.
Yeah, thanks, Doug.
It was heavy, and you're offering a voice that I needed to hear, so thank you.
Well, I hope it's helpful. It's a tough time,
It
and
really is.
yeah, the frightening the thing though that we need to remember is that it's not going to get better. It's only going to get worse, and we need to plan for that. We need to find ways to prepare to deal with that. Yeah. So, yeah, keep me posted about when this goes up, if you would. I'd appreciate that.
You bet. It'll probably be next Monday, I would guess. But I will
Okay,
definitely send
great.
you an email when I get. And then
Okay.
I'm excited to actually read War Porn, but I just didn't get there. So.
Yeah. It's not as hopeful as Learning to Die.
Oh, wonderful. Well, good.
Yeah, it's an older work, and it's sort of, I mean, it has, I feel like it's frighteningly relevant to the moment because it's sort of about how a culture of militarism and violence, militarism and sexualized violence comes back to America, comes home to America, which I feel like is one of the ways in which Trump is a symptom, but I did put some effort into it, and people say it's good, so I can recommend it from a, I guess, literary point of view.
Sure. And I enjoy
Yeah.
literary discussions more so than,
Good. Yeah.
but.
Well, you can have me on again to talk about war porn, perhaps. All
Okay, wonderful. All right, well, you have
right.
a good day. I gotta get moving and go to work now.
Yeah. All right. Thanks
Okay.
again, and take it easy.
You too. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Well, thank you. This was fun, and I did really enjoy your book because I felt like I just did not have any awareness of the whole world that was around me.
That's great. That's exciting. And I feel like what's so great about it is how many people do feel strongly about one or another aspect of the grid without even having a sense of the fact that it's a part of this other thing. So it's been a pleasure.
I mean, so like I didn't understand incandescent bulbs that I mean, I appreciated the quality of light, but I didn't realize that, oh, they're just really super inefficient and we're just losing all this electricity as heat.
Yeah. You can. I was in Guatemala at one point, and I don't think this is in the book, but they would didn't have any like they had electric power, but they didn't have any heat because it was warm during the day and cold at night. And so they would just put an incandescent bulb in each room and shut the door and the windows, and it would heat the room.
That's
It's
so,
amazing.
yeah.
They produce so much heat. I think I read somewhere that 2% of the electrical of the 2% of the energetic capacity of a lump of coal. Makes if you use an incandescent bulb, makes it through the whole system and out as light. So you're wasting 98%.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So it's, we can do better than that.
I hate fluorescence.
I know, me too. But you can go with the LED, and everybody hates them. Everybody hates them, so that's fine. But LEDs are good. So
Yeah, I need
that,
to.
and that's gonna come. That's gonna sort of. I mean, we went out when they made them, because in Canada they're illegal, incandescents.
Yeah.
We went out and we just bought them. Like when they were like, okay, in 6 months we won't produce them anymore. We went and we bought like, 400 of them, put them in the closet. We don't, so it's not like I'm Mr. Good Guy in all of this. I'm waiting for a good replacement. But these LED bulbs are pretty nice, I think.
Well, so then,
Expensive, so.
what are you working on these days? I mean, that's the most fascinating thing to me is that, of course, this encapsulates like social structures, but you have a big canvas that you can play with as an anthropologist.
I have there's a series of academic essays that kind of the book gave rise to, because it's really not an academic book. But there were things that I felt like I didn't think them when I was writing the book, but after the book was done, I started to think about them. So I'm writing those. There's probably will be four or five of them. And then I don't know. I don't know if I'll keep working on electricity or infrastructure or
Well,
we'll see.
it's interesting because it to me it speaks to this notion that of connection that we all long for. And whenever I go out into the desert and I see the gigantic transmission lines, I just think, what a ridiculous project that is. I can't imagine, that early stringing the wires
I
throughout
know.
everywhere.
You should go. You should go. This archive, Southern California Edison photo archive. You can see a lot of it online. And they have pictures of those transmission towers being built by teams of horses, because they predate the internal combustion engine. So they predate cars by almost 30 years. It's just shocking. Like they're hauling these generators around with like teams of like 12 horses, like through the desert. It's completely amazing.
Yeah, I think I've seen something similar where you have a dam, they're using the horses to get those big turbine pieces.
Yeah, into the day, exactly. Exactly. It's probably the same guy, because they're the only utility I know of that actually they had a photographer from the start. So they have pictures from of everything. From the beginning of photography, essentially, they have pictures of their system. It's very cool.
Okay, well, thanks so much for doing this, and
Yeah, thanks for having me. Who are you having next, just to know if I know them?
let me see. I think I next week is Walter Kern. He
I don't know.
well, he's interesting because I think he might be the character that George Clooney is based on in the movie Up in the Air. Yeah,
Oh, uh-huh.
but he
And he wrote a
writes.
book.
What? Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say he writes the Easy Chair columns at the beginning of every Harper's lately. And so he wrote about Standing Rock, but then he also wrote about it in a kind of interesting synchronicity sort of way. And that's kind of what this audience is interested. They're where my audience is more interested in the idea of connection or unseen connection. And so it's interesting to bring science in every now and again with actual physical, like these physical manifestations of the kind of connection that humans long for and seek.
Yeah. And Standing Rock is so interesting too, because it is actually about not having an infrastructural connection. Like not having a pipeline, but having the human conversation. Like it's generating all of this sociability and all of this connection and all this anger around stopping an actual physical thing,
Yeah, and
which
that.
where there's a lot of that with electric lines too. Like people really get organized and get together, connect with each other in order to stop a big electrical line from going in.
Yeah, our time is so bizarre because we wouldn't have, I mean, on level, we wouldn't have the connection that we do without these horrible things that we all are protesting. But that's kind of what you know?
Yeah, it's true, but I think it's because the making, I think because those are this kind of 20th century way of building, nation building, is that you have to actually physically put a thing between two people. And people get angry about it now because I have this feeling it's just not that necessary anymore. Like we don't need, there's big business wants to do it. They want to make money off it, but I don't think we need those things. It's habitual. It's not necessary. There's other ways to be connected. So I don't see people protesting like fiber optic installation, for example.
Well, I mean, so it'll be interesting because there's definitely a solution of both little and big, kind of like we still want universal connection to everything at all times. That just kind of always on internet stuff, but then I don't think, we don't want pipelines, we don't want wires, we don't want pollution.
Yeah. It makes for interesting times. I mean, I think it's good because it's, at least in my work, what I see is there's a sort of old way of doing things, and then there's the kind of pissed off locals being pissed off about what's ever going on, and then there's a lot of people working to make the new way of doing things actually function, and that's exciting. Like wireless charging for all of our devices is just on the way. It's just coming. Like in the next 2 years, you won't have to plug anything in anymore. Maybe 5 years. So, but like it's there. The technology is there. It's just like who's gonna win the market. Essentially, is where the battle is happening. So it's, you know, all these players are sort of still visible to us right now. But there's gonna be a time when one or two of them sort of drop off, and an invisible one comes up. And hopefully, it'll be the big infrastructure people.
Okay.
The pipeline guys.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Anyway.
And I'll send you an email when this is up and done and you can check it out.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
You bet. You
Take
have a great
care,
day.
And good luck with
okay.
the kid.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, thanks. I really enjoyed your book.
Well, thank you, Doug.
You bet. There's so much there. I'm imagine somebody's going to try and turn it into a movie. He's just such an interesting character.
Well, it'd be a long movie, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
like you know, a 5-hour movie or something like that. I don't know. I mean, be a lot of compression. So you know, we'll just wait and see. Good luck to you. How long have you been doing this?
I think this is the fifth year.
Oh, very good, man.
Yeah, and the audience is interested in meaning and connection.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But that takes so many forms, and then, you know, it's just wide-ranging as far as... So definitely I think the audience is more interested in the medicine man healer aspect of...
Right.
Of Black Elk.
Well, you know, if you have people... emailing you, you know, in connection with this. I mean, there's a link on my website where they can kind of email me and chat.
Sure.
So they can feel free to do that if they want to. You know, and if you ever want any sort of follow up or something like that, say there is a movie down the line. I mean, it would be a little while before that happens. I mean, you might want to come back, you know, and do a reprisal. So,
yeah,
I mean,
well,
feel free.
We didn't even get into Neihard at all. And,
we didn't, I know.
And one of the questions is whether or not he used Black Elk to his own gain or if there was,
which is a completely different and important subject. It's that whole idea of cultural appropriation.
Yeah, really, yeah.
You know, and I mean, and, you know, you get, when I was researching this, there's a guy who was of standing on, who I came to trust quite a bit at Pine Ridge, and I was talking to him, and he said, for about 2 hours, and he said, you writing this book is probably going to, there's going to be some controversy. Don't always expect a whole lot of love because you're an outsider. And I smiled at him and I said, oh, you mean white? And he grinned and he said, kind of threw up his hand. And then he's Lakota himself. And he said, oh, but you know, it doesn't really matter. If there was somebody on this reservation who started writing it, and they were a member of Red Cloud's people. Well, Crazy Horse's people, who live up in Kyle, they would disagree with the interpretation, and vice versa. And so this is the kind of thing where nobody's going to completely ever agree with whoever the author is, and so somebody's going to do it. And so, and yeah, I mean, you know, this whole thing of cultural appropriation, I mean, you can even see it back when William Styron wrote The Confessions of Nat Turner. You know, a white guy can't write, can't enter the mind of a black guy. So yeah, I think that's a valid question. I think it's a really interesting question. Obviously, I take a stand on that, but I can certainly understand people feeling protective of their history.
Yeah.
So sure. I mean, that would be really interesting somewhere down the line. Say, I am going to the Neihardt Center in April to give a talk. He probably wouldn't do anything for that. But I mean, say there's a movie or one of those long-term TV shows or something like that that comes out of it. Then I mean, feel free and to kind of have 42 minutes part two.
Sure, that sounds great.
And we'll talk about that. I mean, we'll specifically talk about cultural appropriation because I do think that's a really worthwhile subject.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time and much luck with this great book.
All right. Well, thanks, Doug. Good luck with 42 minutes. Okay.
Okay. Bye bye.
All right.